Your Crown Vision, 1-800-EYE-CARE-TRAFFIC on Y98.
All right, thank you very much, Lance. 813, Russell Hyken, welcome to the Phillips Company Morning Show.
Thank you.
Oh, wait, we got to turn your mic on here. I'm sorry about that. Yeah, that always helps. Unless you like the sound of you being in the corner.
Or like off to the side.
Yeah.
Well, I am here to be heard.
All right. Let me ask you this, because I am the parent of, I've been the parent of
six.
Now five teens.
Oh,
16s,
yeah.
Actually.
And I haven't heard from you yet.
No, you haven't. You know, I guess maybe either we're doing it really wrong or we've done it right for some reason. But, you know, I heard some people last night at dinner when I was at dinner time. And we were talking about a teen daughter of one of these people. And they said, well, she's a lost cause. You know, and I felt so bad that, you know, is that teens go bad or do we allow them to go bad? Is it our fault? How does that happen?
Well, that is a huge question, and I think it can be a little bit of both. I think good parenting goes a long way, but with teenagers in particular, what you need to keep in mind is that they're starting to struggle for their independence, and as adults, we're trying to keep our teenagers little kids, so we clash. So when we can negotiate that, that's when we can move forward. So the teen years are often turbulent.
Yeah, and now with the advent of all of the, and I don't want to sound like an old school guy, but, you know, I mean, we got, you know, with the internet and Skype and, you
know, scary.
All the technologies that are afforded to them that we allow them to have, and yet we don't pay attention to that as parents.
No, and it really is hard to keep up. I mean, think about it. You know, maybe a year or two ago, you first learned how to text.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe this year you got a Facebook page, which is all the rage.
It's true.
And now we're talking about Skype. I mean, you know, how do we keep up? It is hard. And so your teenagers are the experts in that.
Yeah. So I mean, do we need to be in their business? I mean, you know, they accuse us of being too nosy and prying and all that, but it's probably important that way. Let's talk about this Skype thing, for example. This is where you can do, it's almost like video conferencing with people, strangers.
It is video conferencing, and it can be with strangers, and that's the unfortunate part.
Right.
I think when kids Skype with each other, that's a great thing because, you know, we're in such an impersonal world of text messaging and IMs and things like that. To be able to see the person you're speaking with is a novel idea for them on some level, and they can learn how to read nonverbals and sort of interact. And you can get four or five kids online doing a video conferencing at once.
Yeah, but how do you protect your kids from the dangers? I mean, what do you do when you say, well, I want my child to have this technology, and it's hard because people can come into their world that you don't know about?
Well, you're exactly right. And I think with teenagers and with preteens, the thing to do is to sort of co-opt them, sort of let them be the teacher and you be the student. And so you say to your kids, hey, listen, I want you to show me how to use this technology because I think it sounds like fun. So that's your in. And then once you're sitting at the computer with them and they're showing you this technology, then you can kind of engage in a passive conversation about, you know, don't give out personal information. Really, only talk to people that you know. And that's a big one because I think that face-to-face interaction really can build a false sense of security.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, with teens today, what do you find parents come to you with the most? I mean, is it behavior problems? Is it academics? Or is it just a myriad of things?
Because you have had years of experience, I'm sure through the years of dealing with teens, those problems have changed.
They have changed, but they've also stayed the same. I mean, you know, when we were in high school, kids were still bullied, mm-hmm. or in junior high. Well, now they're still bullied, but they're bullied on Facebook or through text messaging. So the concepts are the same. It's the delivery of how it happens, which is different. And so I think, you know, you just sort of have to pay attention and really make a point to talk with your kids. They do want to talk with us. It's just how you get that conversation to happen.
That's a really key point because, you know, it's not about talking to your kids. It's about interacting with them. And it's about knowing the right things. That my wife and I had this conversation the other night.
Not being too good of friends because then are they going to listen?
No, you don't want to be the friend. But the point is that you have to engage them. You know, it's like instead of asking questions, make statements to them.
It's delivery, exactly. It's not what you're saying, it's how you're saying it to them.
Exactly. You know, and when our kids are little, you can look at your kids and get them to perform the way you want. But when your kids are older, you almost have to take sort of a managerial approach. I'm going to try and help manage their behaviors and pull the best work out of them possible. And allow them to make mistakes because life's lessons are often best learned the hard way.
We're talking to Russell Hyken, who's a psychotherapist and is an expert in teen behaviors. And let's talk a little bit about ADD, ADHD, DDAP, PhD, you know. I mean,
Law and Order,
you know,
SUV.
Really. over...
Because I believe I had it as a kid.
Oh, I think I have it now.
Yeah, I mean, I think I have it now, too.
But is it how real is it? I mean, it just seems so much more prevalent now.
Well, you know, it is very real. And the reason why it's more prevalent isn't because, like, all of a sudden we have this epiphany that it exists. It's that we now have the ability to test for it and to look for the specific nuances. And so, for example, if somebody were to come to see me and ask me, do I have ADHD, I would sit them down and do hours and hours of testing and look for, and testing different sections of their brain, look for differences. And those differences are truly ADHD.
But isn't part of it, too, the bombardment of all of the technology and all the distractions we have in our lives?
Well, I think with ADHD, what you have to keep in mind is that it's not that kids don't pay attention. It's that kids pay attention to everything. But a student without ADHD or even an adult without ADHD does have the ability to focus and decipher what's going on, where somebody with ADHD really can't focus. So if somebody walks by...
I'm sorry, I've forgotten your name.
There you go. Well, you know, and if your kids have it, they probably got it from you. So I'd like to point that out. So.
Thank you.
Yeah, now, Russell, would you treat a teen with ADD the same as you treat an adult with ADD? I'm just curious because I think people as adults go, well, I have ADD, and they don't do anything about it. But as a teen, you try to help them and correct it.
With teenagers, no matter, you know, where they're from, where they live, or who they are, they're going to school. And school looks the same from district to district on some level. With adults, though, if you have ADHD and you found that profession that works for you, then you can sort of capsulize that energy, and that inability to stay focused might allow you to actually focus on 10 different things. So if you have ADHD, I encourage entrepreneurship.
All right.
Or radio.
Radio is perfect for it. That's right. Because somebody else will pick it up and say, let's go ride our bikes. Anyway, Russell Hyken, thanks for being with us. I want to make sure that our listeners who have teens that may have some issues can speak with you, contact you, read your blog. I'm assuming you blog.
We have that all on my website.
And it is?
It is www.ed-p as in Paul, S as in Sam, Y as in yellow. That's ed-psy as in educational-psychotherapy.com.
Edpsy.com.
You are correct.
Ed-psy.com.
Ed-psy. That's a terrible name for a man.
It's not a great website name. It needs to just be like Hyken.
Well, you know, if you just Google Russell Hyken, you'll find
him. All right. Ed-psy.com.
There you go. Criticizing our guest.
I know.
You got a lousy
Wrong.
Website.
Your nobody's ever going to get a hold of you. Good luck.
We're teasing. You should have seen the look he gave you. And he's a psychotherapist. You're doomed, Courtney.
Well, that's where I was going with that. So, do you have some other issues we need to talk about?
At Nissan, we thought people.